Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. We come here once a week and turn on the studio cam and jump into the chat room. So hello to the few people that have joined me there in the chat room. If you're listening live and you're able, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net or .com. And both of them will take you to the same chat room and engage the culture with us, I guess, because that's what we're going to be doing. This is a prophecy reality news edition where we discuss a worldview in light of Bible prophecy. And today I really don't have anything planned except current events and news. We're going to talk about the Antichrist some. And I wrote down for our topic is the Bible was right. The Antichrist rules the world through the shadow government, unseen. He learned his lesson well from his 1,250 or 60 years of infamy, where he openly burned Bibles and heretics. His definition of heretics still is those that do not go along with Catholic, Roman Catholic teaching, and who place the Bible in authority over all of the doctrines of men, over the traditions of the Roman Church. If you do not go along, you are a heretic. And especially if you're Bible-believing and you place the Word of God above the word of the false prophet or the Antichrist. And speaking of the false prophet and the Antichrist, maybe we should take, before we jump in, let's take a look at the Word of God here. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Meaning that very few people are going to miss it when he comes. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now I want you to note that. We're talking about the resurrection of the saints here. And it comes after the tribulation of those days. And those days that Matthew, or I should say Jesus is speaking of here and is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, are the days that we are in now, the days leading up to his return. So immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Remember when Jesus departed and he was taken up before his disciples there, some of the apostles, and the angels appeared to him, say, why are you troubled? You know, that Jesus will return in like manner as he left. He left, he was taken up into a cloud, and he will be coming in the clouds. Also in Revelation chapter 1, the same is confirmed, that he comes with clouds. So he's going to come in the same way that he departed. And then he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. See, this is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Okay? And that's a phrase that comes right out of the Revelation itself. This is the first resurrection. Now, John, I got to talk about something John said in chapter 5 here. John's gospel says, and this is what I was looking for, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. there are two resurrections expressed in the text above, then confirmed again by John in the Revelation. So let's go back. Then he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect together from the four winds. So this is one. This is one of the resurrections that John outlines in his gospel in chapter 5. This is the first one, the first resurrection, okay? Not the second one. The evil are not resurrected at the same time as the just. And here it is right here. It is singled out. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, the futurists like to call this the rapture. I call this the resurrection, because I can't find the word rapture in my Protestant Bible. I can't find it in my English Bible anywhere. Okay? Can't find it. The rapture is borrowed from, the Latin Vulgate, the Bible of the Antichrist, and it is there to uphold an anti-biblical thesis. We won't jump into that right now, but I think this sorts it out. So here is the first resurrection. Okay, that's when Jesus comes, he appears in the clouds, and his angels gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven, and they meet him in the air. We meet him in the clouds when he appears. There are only two resurrections expressed in the above text. John's gospel says all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That's when the angels come and all the elect are raised, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now we learn in the Revelation that the second death and second resurrection is this second one here. So we have here two resurrections explicitly expressed in the text. The rest of the scripture, when we harmonize them, we realize that one happens at the beginning of the millennium and one happens at the end of the millennium. There are two resurrections expressed in this text, then confirmed by John in the Revelation. So let's look at what he says. In Revelation 20, verse 5, it says, "This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, which is preceded by the second resurrection, okay, hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those that have part in the first resurrection, those that are gathered by the angels when Christ appears, the elect of God, they're called. And the scripture also tells us that first the dead in Christ shall rise. And that's from Adam and Eve, everyone whose sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, from Adam and Eve to the very last person that is born in of the elect before Christ returns. All of them will appear. They are the elect, from the graves and those that are few that are left among the living. The bulk will be from the grave, since that's where most of history is, and most of God's people have ended up in the grave. The second resurrection and the second death are expressed in the same chapter for the white throne judgment in verses 11 through 15. Of course, we're speaking of Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." John teaches no resurrection to come other than these two. So there's no place for a pre-tribulation resurrection. Remember, Matthew says, after the resurrection of that day, of those days, he appears. Okay? It says, there shall be great tribulation, but it doesn't say, there shall be the great tribulation of 7 years. Nowhere in the scripture. It's all conjectured together. It's all cut and paste eschatology. speculation, of course. It can be nothing other than speculation. And it's pretty poor speculation because it gets you to reject what the reformers taught us, that the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church, capital R, capital C, capital R, capital C, Roman Catholic Church, proper name, is that great apostasy spoken of in 2 Thessalonians. And the man of sin sits in the seat of the Antichrist, is the seat where the man of sin is thrown, the Antichrist. It is a line of men, in the same way that the man of God is not a single individual, but is it all of those that have faith and are the elect of God. Okay. John teaches no other resurrection than those two. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then they will gather the elect, as we read here in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds. And this is also called the last trumpet. Okay. Because it's the last trumpet is where the elect are called and those that were dead are raised and we all meet him together. It happens together. They're not separate events. It's one event. Two different things happening, people being risen from the grave, and people who are living, still alive and remain, will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and they shall be caught up together. Thus saith the word of God. So I can say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, now we get to the news. Let me check the chat room here, see if there's anybody else. Okay, nobody else has showed up in the chat room. Well, not surprising. We've been shadow banned. Used to be a lot popular, more popular many years ago on First Amendment Radio when before 2008, we were growing exponentially every year. And now it seems that we have less people now than we had then at our peak. Okay. And then, of course, that's when Google started changing its algorithms and nobody could find us. Certainly not accidentally. You have to purposely find us, but you may find us on some of the newer alternate forums out there. So that's what we're doing. We're fishing. We're casting the net far and wide to bring people into God's kingdom. We're searching for the elect wherever they may be found. Okay. What we want to talk about here is how the Antichrist, how the Bible tells us that the Antichrist, if we go to Revelation chapter 13, and there's a lot said in the last few verses there about the Antichrist and his companions and how the shadow government operates. And there's plenty more clues throughout the scripture how the shadow government operates. And we learned in history, too, that the Antichrist, what do you call it, sanctified? Yeah, the false prophet sanctified the Jesuit order, which is the shadow government. It is like the top layer of the shadow government under which there are a thousand other layers between it and its operations in the world. Many, many layers of culpable deniability. The Antichrist learned his lessons well from history. Okay. Didn't want that to happen again. But the scripture says it is going to happen again. The light is going to shine on her, Mystery Babylon, and she will be raised with fire before the Lord returns. It's going to be the 10-horned beast power that is going to turn on her. because God has ordained it. And you can read about that in chapters 18 and 19 of the Revelation. But we know until that happens, and in the time that we're living in, the shadow government and the Antichrist, who rules the shadow government, are in full control of the money powers. And right now they're using those money powers to corrupt the entire world. When you have all the money, you can buy everything you want and everybody you want, because most of the world has gone astray. Most of the world is out there to gain. See, we are the few. We are the remnant. God's people, the elect, are the remnant. They're the ones who won't take the bribes or will repent from taking the bribes and turn to the true God. And that's what I call all the world to do, whether it's the Pope himself, whether it's Joe Biden, God forbid. God forbid. I think God has forbidden some people, like he forbade Judas. Okay, so there are many Judases out there, people who will never be saved. There was a curse put on Esau. Yeah. Well, whether the descendants of Esau can be saved or not, that's a different story. I don't know. That's all in God's capable hands. I'm not here to judge anybody. All I can say is get on your knees and cry out to God and ask him to please save you. Please let me be one of your elect. That's my cry. That's my plea, because I'm certainly not worthy. You know, I'm as bad as many people out there that are walking in the wrong direction and doing evil. The only salvation for me is the blood of Christ and the sanctifying work that his Holy Spirit is doing in me. That's the only good in my life. Without what Jesus did and what his Holy Spirit is doing in me and changing me, I would be just as bad as all of those people we can easily look down on. So, and that's my word to them, is to repent. That, hey, you never know until you try. And so try and draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. That's what the word says. Some people can't draw close to him. And that's sad. Yeah, that's sad. Okay, well, anyway, we have here the man in the white dress here. You see him in the white dress is wearing a native Indian headdress. Yeah, he's in Canada. Some of the natives up there, the indigenous people of Canada, are not too happy about it, but some of them may be, you know. I know that a lot of our indigenous brothers and sisters are living in Christ in the Americas, from South America, from the very tip of South America, all the way to the North Pole. There are the indigenous people that have turned to the true and living God, the great God of heaven, whom some of their ancestors even worshipped on this continent before, well, most white men ever showed up, or so-called Europeans, I should say. Before any of the Europeans showed up. They were just earlier Europeans. That's all. The indigenous people of the continent, they were just here. They just came here earlier. Somehow they crossed the oceans or traveled on land, you know, before the oceans filled up or whatever, you know, whatever happened since the flood, and God dispersed the people here. And many of the indigenous people recognize the true and living God. The Christianity is not a white man's religion. Yeah. It's definitely not a white man's religion. It is the true religion. It's the only one, whereby your sins can be forgiven and you can obtain eternal life. So anyway, we have the false prophet over there, asking forgiveness and dredging up old wrongs. And to see, true Christians don't dredge up old wrongs. If they do, they express God's forgiveness toward all men who have done wrong to anyone else, because truly our sin is against God and him alone. That sin may be manifest in a way that it brings trials into the lives of others and does them wrong. but it has nothing to do with the color of the skin or the race of the people. It has to do with sin, the sin problem of all mankind, regardless of your race, creed, color, or proclaimed religion or non-religion. Okay, let's see what else we got going on here. The Antichrist, Pope Francis, the man who sits in the seat of sin, also the false prophet. Yeah. He says humanity must repent. Yeah. Humanity must repent for abuse of Mother Earth. Gaia. So we know that he's a worshiper of false gods and demons. Because we have to repent. And does he tell us who we must repent to? No, we must repent for abuse of Mother Earth. Yeah. So, let's see. We humans must repent and modify our lifestyles as if we have the power to do that. We don't! See, this is a false religion. Because of our abuse of Mother Earth, Pope Francis states in a message released Thursday. See, this is another gospel. See, because now you can have your sins forgiven by modifying your lifestyle, you know, living a green lifestyle and taking up the cause. In his message for the celebration of World Day of Prayer for the Care of the Creation, the pontiff decries the mistreatment of our common home stemming from our consumerist excesses, tyrannical anthropocentrism, predatory economic interests, and short-sighted and selfish actions leading to the collapse of our planet's ecosystems. Oh, we'll continue this when I get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, a live prophecy reality edition. Go not anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis, and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And when we left, we were talking about the false prophet. I'm going to call him what the Bible calls him, the false prophet. Okay. Many people have been wrong about this, including some historicists about the identity of the false prophet. That's because when they wrote the things they wrote, it was not evident. Many things which were not evident, which are evident today, unmistakable today. And anyway, and if you haven't read my latest book, The Beast Apocalyptic, it can sort out a lot of these things for you. And if you'd like a free copy of The Beast Apocalyptic, go to my website. There's a free ebook tab there. Just follow the instructions to get a free e-copy of The Beast Apocalyptic. But you have to notify me that that's the book you want. Otherwise, I'll send you whichever one is up there. So you have to say, I would like a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic. I've shared whatever, one of your posts on my social media. I called my mother and told her about it, or whatever, however you share things. I told my dog all about it. I don't care, you know, just share it with somebody. Anyway, Pope Francis, the false prophet of the day, the one who sits in the seat of the man of sin. Okay, here's his message. His message for the celebration of the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. He made that up himself, I'm sure. The pontiff decries mistreatment of our common home stemming from our consumerist excesses. I like this one. Tyrannical anthropocentrism. Tyrannical anthropocentrism. But you know what? He didn't read the same Bible I read, did he? See, because when I read the Bible, I realize that God made earth for man. Well, he had to make the earth first for man, but he did make the earth for man. He didn't make man for the earth in the same way that he made the Sabbath for man. He didn't make man for the Sabbath. But he didn't make the earth, man for the earth. Yes, he made the earth for man. We are the center of this creation. If you read his book and you believe it. And I do. I read it. I believe it. And I read it again just to make sure. And I still believed it. And I keep reading it. And the more I read it, the more I realize it jibes with reality. That's one of the reasons why I put reality in the title of this broadcast, Prophecy Reality, because the Bible is a book of prophecy. So, tyrannical human-centeredness. Oh, we're so centered on ourselves, and that is a sin, according to the false prophet. Well, I'll read my Bible, and I'll believe what it says is a sin, and not what this false prophet says is a sin. Predatory economic interests, short-sighted and selfish actions. Yeah, there's a lot of sin mixed up in these things. But, yeah. Those aren't the ones we need to repent of. In the first place, it is our sister, Really? Is the planet your sister? Planet is not my sister. Yeah. Like Jesus said, those that believe in me or believe in him, they are my brothers and sisters in the spirit. Yeah. And then I don't have any in the flesh, because my only sister in the flesh, who was also my spiritual sister because she believed in Christ, she went on. She passed on to the resurrection many years ago. But no, the planet is not my sister. The planet is part of God's creation, which he created for us, and he made us rulers over. Now, many people rule over the earth. They use their power that God gave them over the earth to satisfy the lusts of their flesh. That is a sin, okay? And to worship idols, mainly themselves, and the fulfillment of those lusts is their idol. Or they worship the false prophet guy and his great apostasy. And he goes on, he says, the Pope laments, while ancestral lands, okay, because of human responsibility, countless species are dying out from their hymns of praise, silence. And the Pope laments, while the ancestral lands of indigenous peoples are being invaded and devastated on all sides. Well, you know, if you want to call that a sin, nobody is more guilty of that than the Roman Catholic Church and all of her minions who went in and destroyed and enslaved those people to fulfill the lust of their flesh, their lust for power and gold and money and to pass down their idolatry and murder those who would not comply. And now he goes on, the false prophet is saying, okay, because of the climate crisis, the poor disproportionately suffer the impact of the drought, flooding, hurricanes, and heat waves that are becoming ever more intense and frequent. It's a big lie, but the Pope asserts it. Yes, the false prophet asserts it, so the world will believe it. Woke Pope Francis goes all in, calls for green economics, green spirituality, and green education. Yes, we gotta teach everybody our idolatry and what the false prophet wants you to believe. Your new religion is a green religion. Pope Francis calls for green economics, green spirituality. Yes, indeed. The worst environmental crisis ever. Yes. Okay, well, let's see what else we got going on. What else is the false prophet doing out here? Well, Green Pope, Earth is sick, wounded, bleeding. The false prophet, man. And you know what? It's echoing through all of his minions throughout the world are echoing what the false prophet. Yes, the Earth is sick, wounded, and bleeding, says the false prophet. And all of his minions and the shadow government. You wonder, you know, the whole world has moved in lockstep since 2020 when we had the great panic demic that went worldwide. And it was orchestrated, guess, by who? The shadow government that works for the Antichrist. They own the money, and it's coming soon. And I've been talking about this for 20 years, that one day you will not even be able to get on the internet. Perhaps we'll have a dark web then where you can sneak on the internet somehow. I'm sure we'll always find a way, it seems. But we won't be able to get on the internet unless you show your CBDC QR code or whatever to get onto the internet. It's coming, and they want it all by 2030. Yes, what croaking of dooms. Yeah, Jesuit fiends. What croakings of doom. And yeah, croakings, that's an appropriate word. Because this is the croaking that's going on. Now it's the climate crisis. First, it was the panic-demic and the fake pandemic. And then they jabbed all those poor people with their death jab. And now people are dying. And it's coming home to me, man. It's here. You know, it took me over a year to get my well put in. Now I got my well put in, but I still can't have to get it purged, and they're supposed to come tomorrow and take care of it. And finally, I'll be able to get water out of my well that I've waited a year for. But I called one guy to come and install my equipment in the well. And he says, okay, well, I can do it Saturday. And I said, okay, I'll see you Saturday. He says, oh, but can you call me Friday to remind me? I said, what? He says, okay. He says, yeah, since I took the COVID shot, I can't remember things too well. I said, oh, you took the shot, huh? He says, yeah, I took both of them and a booster. Poor guy. And this is happening all around me. The guy who delivers my water, he took one. I talked to him, and he after talking to him, he says, I'm never taking another one. So he might be okay, or he might live longer. But see, this is what lockstep. This is what happens when you centralize power and you try to control everything. Everything falls apart. But, oh, we haven't learned from history. Or have we learned from history? Maybe that's the plan. Because it's easier to control a world that is in pieces, perhaps. But, you know, Satan has come to do what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. And that's what we see. Killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what's happening in the world right now. And the false prophet is at the head of it all, pretending like he's not. He's just some kind old man who's concerned about, you know, Mother Earth. The Earth is sick, wounded, and bleeding. Pope Francis employed some of his strongest environmental rhetoric to date Friday, insisting planet Earth is sick, wounded, and bleeding. Writing to the president of Colombia, Marquez, on the occasion of the World Environment Day. Boy, they got a lot of these days, don't they? World Environment Day, the Pope said that protection of the environment and respect for the biodiversity of the planet are issues that affect us all. We cannot pretend to be healthy in a world that is sick, Francis said. The wounds inflicted on our Mother Earth are wounds that also bleed in us. Caring for ecosystems demand a look to the future, one that is not concerned only with immediate moment that seeks a quick and easy profit, but rather one that is concerned for life and that seeks its preservation for the benefit of all. Yes, join the Borg Collective. There's no other way to save the planet. It's the collective, people. And, yeah. And here's the head of the collective, the false prophet. We call him we have the Borg Queen. He's the Borg King. The Borg Papa. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Let's see, what else we got? Boy, this guy is... He's all over the news today. Here we got another one. Catechism, Pope Francis, yes. The Borg King, the Borg Mother. I would just call him the Borg Mother. He's wearing a dress after all, is he not? Yes, the Borg Mother says catechism should include ecological sin. Yeah. We haven't had any ecological sins before, but that's the most important one today, says the false prophet. So let's see what he says about that. Militant technocrats inside the Vatican had convinced Pope Francis to push nations to criminalize the vague act of ecocide. Yeah, while they commit genocide in order to punish individuals. That's the genocide. To punish individuals and corporations for harming the environment. Pope Francis told a group of lawyers that he would like to introduce the category of ecological sin into official Catholic teaching. We must introduce, we are thinking about it, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the sin against ecology, the ecological sin against the common home. Because it is a duty, the Pope said Friday in addressing participants in an international conference on penal law. International conference on penal law? Huh. Tell me, what does this guy think? He rules the world or something? Does he think he's like the Antichrist? More specifically, Francis said, are all those actions that can be considered as ecocide, for instance, the massive contamination of air, land, and water resources? Yes, we must stop farming. Right, that's part of it. Large-scale destruction of flora and fauna, and any action capable of producing an ecological disaster or destroying an ecosystem is a sin. Is it a cardinal sin? Ecocide is to be understood as the loss, damage, or destruction of the ecosystems of a given territory, so that its utilization by inhabitants has been or can be seen as severely compromised. He said, adding that such a sin is a fifth category of crimes against peace, which should be recognized as such by the international community. As I said, who does this guy think he is? The Antichrist? Does he think he rules the world or something? Well, apparently he does. The pontiff said that such actions, the false prophet said that such actions are usually caused by corporations, and an elementary sense of justice would require that they be punished for them. An ecological sin is an action or omission against God, against one's neighbor, the community, and the environment. The false prophet said, quoting the fathers of the recently concluded Pan-Amazon Regional Synod, it is a sin against future generations and is manifested in acts and habits of pollution and destruction of the harmony of the environment, in transgression against the principles of interdependence. The principles of interdependence. See? You have no independence and liberty. You are a sinner against interdependence and the breaking of networks of solidarity. Yes, comrade. Between creatures. So he's putting us all the creatures on the same level as man, because we are too anthropocentric for him. Satan hates mankind, and so does his false prophet. The Pope's words coincided with the release of a new survey by the Pew Research Center, which found that church-going Americans accept their clergies on spiritual matters, but generally distrust their advice on issues such as climate change. Okay, this one here. Yes, indeed. United Nations, which is the image of the beast. Okay. And I don't know if you noticed in that first picture here. Was that the first picture there? Yeah, this one here. Where do you think this is at? Well, here's the Vatican flag on the right. And here's the United Nations flag on the left. Does it mean anything to you? Yes. Yes, the characters that work together in the end time in chapter 13 of the Revelation. You can read all about it. This book really nails it for you. The Beast Apocalyptic, which is subtitled Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. This eye-opening book will open your eyes. And once you understand these things, there won't be any more confusion about what the scripture says, about what Revelation is about, and who it's talking about when it says words like beast and antichrist and false prophet and the image of the beast and what these things mean, because we get the definitions from directly and explicitly from the scripture itself. That's where it's at. And that's what you want to do. Like I said, go to the free ebook tab there and follow the rules there and say, I would like a free e-copy of, I would like a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic, and I'll send that to you, or whatever book you see on my pages that you would like an e-copy of. And those, I'm only the books I've written though, the ones that have my name on them, Nicholas Arthur. So those are the ones I'm giving away, free. You can try the other ones, but. Yeah. Okay, so if we go to the end of Revelation chapter 13, it says, and he had power to give life unto the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And that's what the 2030 agenda is about. You are going to worship the UN, you know, whether it's Tedros at the WHO, which is part of the UN, all of these tyrannical forces that have been turning our world upside down so clearly for the last two or three years, and really since the beginning of this century, the 2000s, that is. Or really since World War II. Boy, it keeps going back. But anyway, there's a lot of history there. He had power to give life to the image that causes many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so these characters work together. It's the first beast headed by the Antichrist. Yeah, right now. Total power through the UN and also the European Economic Community, plus all of their corruption in all of the governments around the world. That's how they're controlling all the governments of the world, through corruption, because men are corruptible for the most part. It is only God's people who can't be corrupted or who will repent of their corruption and be sanctified or changed, be in the process of being sanctified, in the process of being perfected because of their repentance. So the Antichrist, as proclaimed in Revelation, at the end of Revelation chapter 13, owns the money and rules the world through the corruption that he gains by using that money to corrupt those in power and to get his sway over the whole world. Okay, we're going into a break, and I'll be back after that and some news. Don't go anywhere.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I guess we're going to jump into it, some prophecy. And as I was saying in the first hour, we were looking at the machinations of the false prophet, also called the man of sin and the Antichrist, but called the false prophet and the man of sin in the scripture. The Antichrist is an appellation given to him, as there are many Antichrists. But there is only one, the Antichrist, referring to the false prophet and the man of sin of the scripture. And let's see, somebody, you in the chat room, who didn't put his name in there, he left the you in there. If you click on the little green people symbol there, you know, the guy with the head and the shoulders, you can change the you to your name. And so then we could not just say, hey, you. But you in the chat room, he says, he said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I saw, oh, if the Pope is the beast, he keeps changing his colors too. If the Pope is the beast, how can he be the false prophet? Well, the Pope is not the beast, okay? Any more than Joe Biden is not the United States of America. Joe Biden may speak for the United States of America. You know, he may be a mouth given to that beast power, but he is not it. Okay. But when he speaks, people will say that the United States is speaking or the United States says. So we understand that the beast is not the Pope, but the Pope is the false prophet. And then he quotes quite, Revelation 16:13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And yes, so there is a differentiation there. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon are not all the same thing. And we are in that era. I call the era that we're living in since the French Revolution, since that vial was poured out, of which those three frog-like spirits were part of, to gather them together. The purpose of them is to gather them together to the great day of God Almighty, and that will be when Jesus returns and executes a temporal judgment on the earth before his thousand-year, or to at the beginning of the millennial reign. That's the culmination of what those three spirits are doing, is to sort them out so that everyone can see plainly who everybody is, okay? And they are croaking louder. Those three frog-like spirits are croaking louder and louder. That's why it seems so bad now, but it's just been building up. And exponentially, I say, as we move on toward that day. So it's not bad now, but it's bad now. But it's going to get much worse, because we have maybe somewhere around 30 to 40 years before the seventh millennium begins and the millennial reign of Christ. That's my belief anyway. But I believe it will be about the year 2055, give or take a few years here and there, that the sixth millennium ends and the seventh millennium begins. And so, of course, my belief that the Sabbath millennium is the millennial reign of Christ. And so, unfortunately, I mean, if I had it my way, I'd have it much sooner. That way I could be sure to live that long, but already I'm an old man. And I don't know if I can live till 2055. Yeah. I mean, people do live that long, but in 2055, I'll have to be, how old will I have to be? Like 102 or something. Yeah. I'm giving my age away there. So let's see what else we got here. Just the number of beasts named in the, isn't the number of the beasts name in the name of the Pope? No, it's the number of a man that is named. Read the end of chapter 13. It says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. See, the beast uses the number of a man, and his number is 666. And of course, I believe, as did the early church fathers, believe that it was the Latin man. And that became even more appropriate as time moved on, because they Latinized everything, okay? And it is the Latin man is the Pope. The Pope is the Latin man, okay? And that was the appellation, the number of a man, and a particular man, also called the false prophet and the Antichrist, the Latin man. That's what the early church fathers believe. And since many of them were taught by John, who wrote the Apocalypse or the Revelation, and his disciples, and their disciples for the first several centuries, they came, that was their conclusion. There were other conclusions, but the most accepted was that it was the Latin man. So there you go. But that's a whole another one. And I put a link there to the Horae Apocalypticae, and there's a whole section in there on the number of the beast. So you can check it out for yourself. But keep that link. And, you know, that's the most exhaustive thesis on Book of Revelation ever written by a Protestant historicist about 1860. And, of course, it's been updated since then with the Reformation Quincentennial edition published by us here at First Amendment Radio, with updates, because a lot has happened since 1860, believe it or not, in prophecy, enough to warrant some updates to that great historicist work, the Horae Apocalypticae. So you got to keep that and read that one there, it'll help you to understand. But like I said, if you really want to sort it out, I've condensed this and and made, I believe, it much clearer in The Beast Apocalyptic, because this is my latest work, which was just published, I believe, this year. Published this year or last year? Well, within the last year, anyway, The Beast Apocalyptic. But it'll sort all of those nuances out for you using the scripture. We want to get our definitions and our understanding from God's word alone. And that's why this book is only 100 pages, approximately. And didn't want to put a bunch of superfluous stuff in there, like a lot of these, to confuse you or to obfuscate some bold speculation like so many of these prophecy pundits do. But anyway, like I said, you can get a free copy of it, or you can buy your own paper copy from Lulu Press. Yeah. Or Amazon. I prefer Lulu Press if you're going to buy it, buy a copy. But like I said, it's free. Just go to the free ebook tab there and follow the instructions, and then leave the comment saying, I would like a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic, and I'll send it to you. Okay, so here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. So, because that man heads the beast for most of the beast's life. That's truth. Yeah. Because since the fifth century, when he began his 1260-year overt reign of the ten-horned beast empire, that's Western Europe. Yeah, he ruled for 1260 years. But now he rules covertly. And a lot of that understanding will be how and what the scripture says about it, and how do I understand it and apply it today. It's all in here for you. I believe I've tried to make it as easy to understand as anybody can using the scripture alone. Okay. So anyway, this is from The Beast Apocalyptic itself. The earth beast creates an image of the sea beast. We're talking about the papacy there, and that picture here. Was it this one here? Yeah, this one here. There's the false prophet. We have the UN flag here, and we have the Vatican flag here. Okay. So why? How does that, what does that mean for us? Okay. The earth beast creates an image of the sea beast, the three characters that work together in subduing the world for the Antichrist at the end are the earth beast, the image of the beast, and the sea beast ruled by the Antichrist as it is ruled today. And he pretty much rules the whole earth today through these constructs and his shadow government, and using, like I said, corruption in just about every government on the face of the earth, because now he owns the money power that rules the whole earth. Otherwise, how could he inevitably require everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in order to buy or sell or trade? He must have the money power. So we know that he does. Okay? People out here trying to figure out, the Bible gives us the answer. Principle in our search for a divine interpretation of the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, because that's what the image of the beast is. It is an image of the first beast, or the sea beast, of Revelation 13. That's what it is. Okay? Principle in our search for divine interpretation of the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2 in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see a conglomeration of all the powers that would dominate the world. From the first enumerated sea beast, that is Babylon, its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. In the second end time image, now we're speaking of the one today, the United Nations, of course, in the second end time image, we see the conglomeration of all the powers of the earth for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship or obedience of all. Has that been happening? Did the whole world lock down because of a United Nations organization called WHO and its dictator? who told everyone to lockstep, walk in lockstep and follow the dictates of the image of the beast? If there's no clearer demonstration, what more clear demonstration could you want of the power of this image of the beast? In this second end time image, we see the conglomeration of all the powers of the earth for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship or obedience of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The very definition of that phrase there, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is intrigue, because that's how the Antichrist rules the world today, through intrigue and, as I said, through the money power and the corruption of all the powers and governments and men in the governments of the world everywhere. Could it be clearer than it is today, every day? People are bewildered and overwhelmed by the corruption everywhere. There's nowhere to turn because everywhere you turn is corrupt. Could it be any clearer? No, it could not. We have learned from Bible history and at the temptation of Christ that it is Satan who comes to dominate all the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So with the dragon power firmly entrenched in the U.S. government at Washington, D.C., in the New World, World War I is initiated and America lured to engage the conflict in the sea beast locality, that is, Western Europe. That is the old world. After which the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations, founded in 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War, they could not get America to join. So no New World Order. You don't have New World Order until you have the New World taking part of the Old World Order. America is not yet ready, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League had failed its primary purpose, which was, yes, so-called primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. That was the purpose for public consumption. The League lasted for 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire world. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and to create and maintain international order. See, the Antichrist loves the concentration and centralization of power because it makes it much easier to corrupt and take over. If they can centralize it, they can corrupt it and usurp that power, which is what they do, and that's their modus operandi, always has been, corruption and usurpation, and then tyranny that ensues. A replacement for the ineffective League of Nations, the United Nations was. The organization was established 1945 after World War II, with the aim for public consumption of preventing another such conflict. Yes, but to see the Antichrist and his shadow government, they love conflict if it serves their purpose. And it usually does. That's why we've had all the conflict since then. Okay? At its founding, the UN had 51 member states, are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City, in the New World, as opposed to the Old World. That's why it's the New World Order. Yes. Yes, but remember, it's the same as the old boss. The new boss is the same as the old boss. Oh, how the dragon loves to concentrate power. The United Nations is the new world order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June 1945 in San Francisco. See, the Earth Beast creates the image of the Sea Beast. San Francisco. This charter took effect in October 45, and the UN began operation. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 60s, and by the 70s, its budget for economic and social development programs was far outstripped its spending on peacekeeping. And it goes on and on. The UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. That's what we're in the middle of right now. That's what the great push of the 2020 panic-demic was all about. They were getting afraid. They wanted it by 2018. That's what they said 30 years before that. Okay? And so they decided, they came up with a couple lockstep scenarios, and they began operation in 2020 because they want it by 2030. And to get it by 2030, this is what it takes. What they are doing is what it's going to take. And the Bible tells us how successful they will be, but it also leaves a lot up in the air. And that's why I say resistance is not futile. Yes, the Borg may say resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. I don't think so. I say resistance is not futile. We must resist. Resistance is mandatory. It's necessary. We must resist till our very last breath, like all of the hundreds of millions of martyrs that were killed by the Antichrist and his minions over his 1260-year reign. They resisted to death. They resisted in fire, to the axe, by the sword. They resisted. They paid with their lives, and we may be called on to pay with ours, but hey, so be it. Because the scripture says, fear not them that can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both soul and body into hell. And the fear of God is that which brings about repentance. And you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and the remission of your sins. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, adopted by the General Assembly on 25 September 2015 for transforming our world, truly covers just about every realm of human activity and is the perfect model for a worldwide government to support a comprehensive and mandatory Mark of the Beast type monetary system. And you hear about it every day now, every week, CBDC, CBDC, yes, central bank digital currency. And just whose central bank do you think they're talking about? You think the Federal Reserve is the central bank? No, that's just the name of it in America. They have different names for it in different countries. But it all goes back to the Antichrist who controls it all. Beyond chapter 13 of the Revelation, the scripture makes no further telling exposition of the image of the beast. But can one even imagine what more needs to be said? If we have not here discovered the truth, then I ask you, yeah, all of you critics out there, all of you doubters about what I'm saying, we must soberly ask, if this is not the truth, what else could it be? And all I get with that question are crickets, because there's no other answer. The truth is the truth. It's written in history, it's written in the Bible, and it's written in the pages of your news today. And as history unfolds prophecy, prophecy unfolds in history. And that's what we see going on. So that's just one section on the image of the beast from my book. Well, this is the section as the Earth Beast creates an image of the beast. And that's in the chapter, A Tale of Two Beasts. This is the chapter here, Revelation chapter 13. A Tale of Two Beasts. Very interesting chapter. And I put a post in there, a link in there to the Hori Apocalypticae, which has much of the same information. This was written later, so it's more refined and more clarified and more up to date. But either one will get you there, because they both tell the truth. Just you have to unfold a little bit more yourself in the earlier writing. On the later writing, I just unfold a little bit more for you, expose a little bit more as God exposes it to me, or opens the revelation up to us. And that's what he's doing. This is the time for this revelation to be exposed for the people that are living in it. And I found that true throughout history, that the understanding of prophecy is mainly for those that are living in the days that that prophecy is unfolding. So before it unfolds, we have an idea. But as it unfolds and after it unfolds, it becomes much more clear. Okay, we're going to go into another break, and we will be back for one more segment. Go not anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're talking about end time prophecy and bringing it right up to date to the day we live in. I have you in the chat room. It hasn't changed his name from you to whatever else it is. Says that would be a poor name to give your child. Let's name him you. Oh, it's his new pronoun. Oh, you. Okay, anyway, you in the chat room, just having a little fun there. He says, isn't the number of the beast's name the name of the Pope? Well, it's not an individual Pope. Okay, the man of sin is a line of men in the same way that the man of God is a line of men. Okay, it identifies a certain line of men in the same way. But it is the man who occupies the seat of the man of sin. Okay, well, let's see if we can get something here. Your name and where are you calling from? Yes. I suggest you listen on the air. I'm not having any listeners on the phone. So I have to listen on the air like everybody else. Okay, so back to the question. Isn't the number of the beast's name the name of the Pope? Number of the beast's name is the number... Well, we just read that in the Revelation there again. Here is wisdom. This is the only scripture that tells us this, okay? So it's all here. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding and count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So it's the number of a man. The number of the man is given to the beast, okay? It shows you about the power this man has over the beast, especially in this monetary thing where you have to have this number or a mark or something that shows that you capitulated to the beast's power in order to buy or sell or trade and to participate in society. Okay? So it's a number of a man. So we have to identify the man. It is not one singular man, but it is the line of men. See, identified by even pre-Reformation believers. But the Reformation fathers definitely identified the papacy as the seat of the man of sin. So whoever sits in that seat, that line of men, and he is the Latin man. Everything was Latin. They couldn't even know that in the first century, yet they identified, the early church fathers said that it was Latianus, the Latin man. Speaking of like the Latin man, as in a proper appellation, like we have a proper name. That was the proper name, was the Latin man, the Latianos, for that man, the Latin man, being the Pope, the man who is head of the Latin or Antichrist Church, the great anti-Christian apostasy. From the same chapter that you get the man of sin. And if you go to that, I put that link there in the chat room again. If you go to the end of it, I believe it's section, here I have it right up here. Section 4, it says the mark of the beast, its name and number. So if you read that, it should help you out to understand. It goes much deeper than you probably want to go into it. But I believe it'll help you to understand the name of the beast. Okay, and his next question, if the beast is the papacy, the beast is not the papacy. The papacy was the head of the beast for 1260 years. Now the papacy rules through intrigue because he learned his lesson. He ruled overtly and the world turned against him. So now he rules with layers of culpable deniability between him and his rule of the world, okay? If you understand that. He learned his lesson well, but the scripture says that the beast power, the ten-horned beast power, is going to turn on Mystery Babylon, the whore, because Mystery Babylon is the Antichrist church, okay? So the gig will be up sometime between now and before Christ returns. The gig will be up. And they will blame her for all the woes of the world when they find out, when it becomes apparent to the world, as it is apparent to me and all of us who have our historicist eyes open, because we know history and we know prophecy and we put them together and we identify. Soon there will be a day when the world will turn on the Antichrist power, the Vatican, just to tell you who Mystery Babylon and what is meant by that. And they will destroy her with fire, the scripture tells us. So I believe it's going to happen. Okay, so if the beast is the papacy, how do we count its name? Okay, no, you count the name of the man, and it's applied to the beast and the numbering system. Okay, because ultimately that's who you're worshiping, is the Antichrist power, which has control over the beast. Okay, it's all, I know it's a little confusing, but I, like I said, if you get this book or read what the link I put there, read it completely. There's more in this book, and I even give it to you free. Like I said, go to the free ebook tab there and request it. Okay. Next question. No frog comes from the two-horned beast? No, no frog comes from the two-horned beast. There are three frogs. One from the beast, the sea beast, one from the mouth of the false prophet, and one from the dragon. And there's a section in this book here on the three frog spirits that come out of those mouths and what they're doing. They're working in the world today, and they've been working in the world since the French Revolution, since the sixth vial was poured out, because they were part of that vial. And they've been working toward the day of the Lord God Almighty, when Jesus is going to return. And their work is exponential. Starts out slow, but it keeps building over time to where now it's a crescendo. The voices, the croaking of the frogs is like a crescendo, but it's going to get even worse because of the exponential growth. And we've seen that growth in the last 2 or 3 years, it seems, boom. But actually, we just didn't notice it as much until now. It's like every day, and it's all you hear, and it's corrupt everywhere, and there seems to be no remedy. But there is a remedy, and that is in Christ, and that's being hidden in Him as part of His elect, as being part of His kingdom. That's the remedy, and that's the only remedy, because the world is only going to get worse and worse until Christ comes, and then everything will be remedied. And I'm writing a book right about that right now. It's called The Millennium Question, which I will be publishing in September. Yeah, I should have it done in September. So anyway, appreciate your prayers for that and all the work we're doing here at First Amendment Radio and Prophecy, Reality, and Cross the Border, and all the books. And I appreciate your prayers, because God knows the spiritual battles that I have to fight are horrendous. They are horrendous every day, and it never lets up. Satan hates me. He's tried to destroy me and destroy the work that I'm doing many years ago. And I won't give up, because as long as God gives me the power and the wherewithal to keep going, it doesn't matter to me. Because, you know, I know it's a privilege to work for God, even under these circumstances, even when it's difficult. It's more of a privilege, because the results are His. You know, mine is just to obey Him, because God doesn't need me. He's going to accomplish His purpose regardless of whether I'm alive or dead, or whether they kill me tomorrow, whether they come next week and the stormtroopers come and break down my house and tear my family apart and destroy it. If that happened, it wouldn't matter. God's purpose will be served. He has other people out there. He's got an army out there. You know, sometimes I feel like that poor prophet says I'm the only one, but I'm not. I know that's not true, because I read that part of the Bible. He says, I have 7,000 men. He's speaking of Israel in the day of a great apostasy. So that was just kind of like, you know, a mini image of what's going on in the whole world right now. So anyway, there's that resource for you. Follow that link. Read that whole thing several times, that whole chapter there, because that's your up-to-date chapter. And like I said, if you go back to the homepage at the horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com, you'll find the three frog era, and somewhere in there you'll find work on the millennium. You can go back to the beginning, the opening of the seals, you know, the things that the future things which must shortly come to pass, that were told to John in 95 AD. And they did shortly, immediately, the prophecy started to unfold. And that's what shortly come to pass meant in 95 AD, that the prophecy given would start to commence immediately. And it did. It shortly began to come to pass. Future things. So that means everything future would shortly commence. That's what it meant when it said things which must be hereafter and which must shortly come to pass. You put those together, that means the prophecy of the future will begin immediately. The prophecy told in this book will shortly commence, shortly come to pass as to its commencement, and it will continue until Christ comes. And of course, it continues after he comes, because we have the millennial prophecy of chapter 20. Then after that, we have the new heaven and new earth. And then after that, we go off into eternity and the eternal state in the new heaven and new earth. So it couldn't have all shortly come to pass, as people like Rick Weil said, oh, it all happened in 70 AD and it happened immediately. No, it couldn't have happened immediately. There's still future after the immediate happenings of the opening of the seals. And then the trumpets, and then the vials. Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever order the revelation is in. I also have here, because sometimes I can't keep it all in my mind. That's why I write these books, so I could have a better understanding. But even with that, I forget. So anyway, I did my, last year I did my exposition of the revelation in the view of Reformed premillennial historicism. So hope you can find that too at the bookstore. But like I said, this one I'm giving a free this week, or for anyone that hears this video at any time, just go to the Get the Free ebook tab there at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and follow the instructions and request The Beast Apocalyptic. Okay, and also take advantage of the entire Jorge Apocalypticae minus some of the appendices. But it's all available there at jorgeapocalypticae.wordpress.com. And spread it around. Post the postings there. Get a chapter like this one here that I have. They all make really nice postings on Facebook and TikTok and all of that Twitter stuff. or whatever. All of the new ones. Yeah, all of the new ones there. Like, what is this? Telegraph, Getter, Sovereign, Gab. What else have we got? Yeah. They all make really nice postings on those. So share these things wherever you go, especially this one here, The Rise of the Two Horned Earth Beasts, because that opens people's eyes up to go, aha, this is happening. I'm in the middle of this thing. Because we are. We're in the middle of this thing. This era right here where the final sea beast that assimilated all the sea beasts before it. Okay? It comes into an alliance with the two-horned earth beast and the image it creates. And these three powers rule the new world order for the Antichrist. Or I should say the Antichrist rules through these constructs the entire world in lockstep. That's why you had what you had. And the WEF is just part of the UN. All of these things work together. The shadow government has many organizations, thousands of them, into everything in the world. And she rules by her money power through the corruption of mortal men who are easily corrupted in all of the governments everywhere in the world. Has her young global leaders in all the governments of the world. All over the world, in many local governments, state governments, city governments, school boards. Young global leaders are everywhere, trained by not only the WEF, but many, many other organizations under the auspices of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. Yeah, this is our reality, people. This is the reality of our world today. And all this information is available for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear and really truly want to know the truth and understand what's going on in the world. And all we can do is resist, like I said, and I will resist with my last breath, whether that's by axe, fire, or sword, or whether it's my last breath on my deathbed, peacefully in my home, with my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren around me. It matters not, because everyone I love, of all the elect of God, I will see them all in the greatest family reunion ever to come on the face of the earth. And I'm going to write about that in the book I'm writing right now, The Millennium Question. I got to put a chapter in there on the great family reunion. And it's going to be around the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's going to be a long marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not going to be like one dinner one day. It's going to be more like a seven-year, a week of years, I believe. The marriage supper, the celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to go, and it's going to go on the earth while the rest of the earth, I believe, makes entreaties for peace, but plans for war to stand up against the King of Kings for the great day of God Almighty. Yeah. You'll see. What I'm going to write is not excluded by the scripture. And a lot of it is maybe slightly speculative, but like I said, it can't be excluded by scripture. Need to speculate a little bit on, you try to breathe a little life into some of the words there to help people to understand what the possibilities are for the return of Christ. Yeah. And not this fantasy of a seven-year pre-tribulation rapture, because that is a fantasy. We have to go through the tribulation of these days. We are going through it. I am prepared to go through it, like I said, even if I have to be beheaded or otherwise martyred for my faith and my resistance. That's the instructions I have from the Master. He said, fear not them that can kill the body, and whatever other things they can do to the body, because they can do worse things than just kill you. They can do much worse things to you before they kill you. And they've done that over the ages. And many martyrs have stood up under it. And I believe that's where the Spirit comes in and helps. It's like Stephen, when he was being martyred in the midst of it, he was swept away in the ecstasy of seeing the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was not noticing the pain that his mortal body was going through. So God is able and he will sustain us. We have nothing to fear at all. They may threaten your children, your family, but you don't give in. Because if you give in, then your family and your children will be in more danger. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that God is absolutely faithful and that he will take care of your family and your children if they try to use them against you in the hour of temptation. And they will. But we can't give in. We cannot be assimilated by the Borg. They've always wanted to assimilate. And then they would assimilate and kill you anyway. Yeah, just so you couldn't change your mind. It sounds like a satanic plot, doesn't it? Kill them before they change their mind. Let's make sure that they absolutely go to hell and burn forever in a fallen state. You know, that's what the Antichrist practiced openly for 1260 years. Now he's killing at the behest of his master Satan behind the scenes in any way he can. That's why the clot shot, the death jab, and all of the repercussions of that, just to murder as many people as possible, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Yeah. The signature of Satan is upon everything that the governments of this world are doing, those that have sway in them, through the corruption. The best politicians that money can buy. Yeah. You know, the best politicians can't really be bought, but the best ones that money can buy are all corrupt. And that's why we see all this corruption with nowhere to turn and nothing you can do. Yeah. Because they control everything. The courts, they control, well, look at the federal government in Washington, D.C. The Antichrist owns Washington, D.C. The Antichrist had Washington, D.C. set up. Read Rulers of Evil. F. Tupper Saucy lays it out quite clearly. The Antichrist, influence in setting up Washington, D.C., the centralization of power in the New World. He had to have it in order to corrupt it. And it took him 100 years to steal the money power and another 100 years to get where he is now. And it's totally corrupted. 200 years to totally corrupt the American dream and turn it into a nightmare. Yeah. Yeah, I think you'll like what I have to say about the Earth Beast in the Beast Apocalyptic Chapter 13. The exposition there. Definitely a must read. Okay. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of gas and it's getting hot in my studio. This is why I don't like to do a broadcast in the summer. By the end of it, my shirt is drenched. I'm sweating. And, so I'm glad the 2 hours is just about up here. Let's see. Anything else in chat room? I must have answered all the questions for you. So anyway, you got the resources. If I didn't answer anything, the answers are there. And you can always contact me at my website. Go to my website there at crosstheborder.org. Yes, this one here. Oops, that's not it. Okay. Oh, how do I go to the homepage here? Oh, go to the preview changes there. Press on that. Anyway, you can go to my website. This is, I'll put a link in the chat room for that. Make sure you subscribe to my blog if you have not already. Okay. And thank you for that, you. I'm glad you've been edified by this. I'll put a link to that in the chat room. Please go there and subscribe and take advantage of that. Anyway, so there's a link for that. Okay. And I will post this program later on. Right now, I just have the live feed posted on my website. So you'll have to wait a couple hours to get the program posted. So wait for it. It will show up. Okay, that's all we have time for. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. I'll see you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.